Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Newsmaker Podcast. This is Hannah Belloli, Business Management Editor for the ACHR News. And today we are joined by Phil Mutz, Vice President of Moncrief Heating and Air Conditioning. And Phil was also featured in our top 40 under 40 list in 2019. So Phil, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Hannah.
Yes. So Phil, you're a fifth generation of your family to work in the HVAC industry. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what that was like? Did you get into the industry at a very early age because of that? Or what is your journey?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly was around the shop for my entire childhood. You know, dad was constantly working. You know, it was a 7-day a week job for him, and we were along for the ride on the weekends. And, you know, I can remember sword fighting with my brother with S locks and other super dangerous things that, you know, in the 80s, it wasn't quite. So, you know, we certainly got to play with a lot of cool things and, you know, science fair projects were, you know, like using transformers and turning on light bulbs and all that kind of stuff. So, I was tinkering around with that stuff since I was the youngest of ages. And I was always that kid that kind of took things apart and put them back together anyway. So I certainly grew up around it. You know, I would ride with some of the other technicians randomly. I spent my summer as a 16-year-old riding with another senior tech. He had like a bad back, as I recall, or something like that. And then I rode with another guy. So yeah, I spent an entire summer riding with technicians. And then, you know, through college and the rest of high school, I would work in parts here and there when they needed help. And then, you know, I went full time as a service technician after college while attending trade school at the same time. And that's sort of how I got my start.
Yeah. And so what appealed to you about the industry? Like what was the thing that really drew you in?
I was a mechanical person. You know, some of my other college jobs were like bicycle mechanics and things like that. And so, and working on grounds crews at golf courses. So I was just always working around machines and I liked them. I liked working on things and fixing things. I could just figure things out. And, you know, as a young adult, when you're starting to look how to turn that kind of thing into a career, it's like, well, and my dad owned this air conditioning company. So that seemed like a pretty logical, like, well, cool, I can learn to fix these things. And then that can be my job. And I think what was appealing about that, you know, was that any skilled trade is going to kind of guarantee you a career and an income, no matter what happens to, you know, our family business or whatever. I could always go out there in the market and get a job. And so that was sort of what appealed to me on that.
Right.
I think at the same time that the industry was really, you know, this is the right around 2000 or so, the industry was really starting to pivot for the first time really since modern air conditioning as we know it, in that 410A and variable speed motors, communicating systems, mini split inverters, you know, all these things were kind of coming out and the technology was starting to advance like it never had before. You know, for the last prior 30 years, it was all just, you know, relays and transformers and you know, that was kind of it. There wasn't a whole lot to motors and things like that. And I just really kind of gravitated towards that stuff. That kind of became my niche to kind of take on and learn all this kind of new emerging technology that perhaps some of the kind of older technicians were leery of or didn't have any interest in. And so that's where I was able to dig in and experiment with new tools and techniques. And that was kind of cool to me, I thought.
Yeah. And then so eventually you landed the vice president of Moncrief. You started with them and then over, what was it, 10 or 15 years, you were promoted to vice president. So how did that happen? And what do you do now in your current role?
Well, it wasn't obviously a linear, but yeah, I mean, I was a technician and then I quickly became a supervisor technician and then kind of the training manager for the service department and install department. So I did a lot of like tech leadership, tech training, and that kind of stemmed into the, you know, the interviewing and hiring and mentoring of new apprentice technicians. And that became more of like a service manager style role. I mean, you know, a lot of these small businesses, there's not exactly, you know, job titles. Everyone just kind of does what they're doing. I mean, I had to put something on the internet and so vice president is what it is, but like everyone does a little bit of everything in these smaller businesses. And that's just what we kind of do. And so, yeah, I certainly have worn a lot of hats. You know, I've done a lot of marketing. I was the marketing director for a period of time, which is scary to think about. but you know, we didn't have a brand, we didn't have a logo. And these were things that I was like, well, I know somebody that draws logos. I'm going to get with my friend who does, you know, cool stuff. And we're going to make a logo and we're going to design a truck and we're going to design a website. Like, these are just things you just kind of like take on,
right,
in smaller family businesses. And so, yeah, so by and by, I'm certainly doing a lot more managing than I am in-home services anymore, which is sad on some levels, but, you know, that's just kind of the way things progress, of course.
Mm-hmm. And what services does Moncrief offer currently? And you guys are in Atlanta, Georgia, correct?
Correct. We're in Atlanta, Georgia, and we certainly offer the full variety of residential, light commercial HVAC services. So, you know, maintenance plans, demand calls, installation, design services, custom homes, air and indoor air quality, all that good stuff.
And in addition to your role with Moncrief, you're also a technical advisor and management consultant to 12 businesses and startups through Unique Indoor Comfort, which I believe was founded by your grandfather, if I'm not mistaken. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Unique Indoor Comfort, what that is, what it does, and how did it come to fruition?
Yeah, Unique Indoor Comfort was sort of a brainchild of my grandfather's back when a lot of small companies had very good technical proficiency, but perhaps they lacked the business accounting aptitudes that you need to actually run a business and grow a business. And so he basically developed a real easy accounting method for tradesmen to use. And so what the original Unique Indoor Comfort was basically a fraternity of companies that were all independently owned and operated. And we all shared ownership in each other's companies. And we all lended hands in various ways. You know, you'd have a guy up in Indianapolis who was a boiler expert. You would have, you know, an accounting expert down in Atlanta. You would have, you know, a sales expert up in Philadelphia. So we all just kind of would lend each other best practices based on everyone's independent expertise. And what that allowed these much, you know, kind of fragmented smaller companies to have a lot more kind of back-end support than they ever would have had on their own. We can answer phones remotely and things like that. This was stuff we've been doing since, you know, the 80s and 90s even. We've recently kind of reformatted Unique Indoor Comfort into more of a traditional umbrella company that owns and operates all the other location companies. So as the industry has kind of evolved into this consolidation mode we're in right now with all this private equity money, you know, we were looking around at that landscape and it was kind of really scary to sell or partner with one of these kind of roll-ups and then have a steamroller come through here and turn us into, you know, a sales behemoth. You know, we didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is we are partnering with existing owner operators who want to just take their business to the next level, but they're not retiring. They're not exiting the industry or the business.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to partner with capital. They need to partner with experts and they need to be able to scale. And what having these larger platforms is allowing us to do is have, you know, proper benefits and HR and recruiting and all these training and development things that just take money to be able to do and execute at scale and purchasing and all those kinds of things. So the new Unique Indoor Comfort has been really exciting to be a part of. And we're rapidly growing and adding companies because I think what these smaller companies are realizing as they get to that, you know, $3 to $5 million range and you sort of hit a ceiling and you hit your bandwidth level. And the way to get over that is to, you know, join another platform that is allows you to kind of have the bandwidth you need to grow and to take your business to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that way they can focus on the other things that they're used to focusing on. Because it is a lot to incorporate, as you know, when you had to do this, you know, 20 years ago, back in 2000, it's a hard thing to start marketing and getting your business to that sales 4C type task, you know?
Correct.
Yeah. And so what does the training and recruitment process look like then through Unique Indoor Comfort? Like, how does that start?
So we firmly believe that we are looking for the right people, not necessarily the right skills. We can teach the skills, but we like to say that we are a really good customer service company that happens to excel at HVAC. So we're looking for people that have that genuine desire to help other people, to make a difference, to be honest, ethical, and methodical, and work as a team. And that's the kind of person we're looking for. And then what we've done is developed our own in-house training programs where we can take somebody with little to no experience and teach them what they need to know in a relatively short amount of time to be in the field producing and on their way on a very interesting and exciting career path. And then speaking to that career path, being like, you know, this is the entry point to an industry and we will get you all the way as far as you need to go, whether that's management development, whether that's, you know, sales training, all the soft skills you need for customer service related tasks that technicians are doing. You know, technicians aren't, as we know, they're not just literally fixing things. They have to do a lot of customer interaction.
Right.
Have to either, at some companies, they're doing a lot of selling. At some companies, they're doing a lot of referral, but they need to tee up a salesman. So there's a lot to the job. And I think it's easy to be daunted by the technical side of it, but I think if people have a better grasp of that and they're taught that in a more methodical way, then they have an easier time digesting the other side of it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, so how do you get the word out? Like, where do you find these trainees or people who have an interest within the industry?
There's no one way. So yeah. I know everyone wants a silver bullet on this one, including myself, but I have found it is a little bit of everything. So it's the social media, it's marketing. Facebook is interesting, and that's going to be changed. All these things obviously evolve and change, but you're not necessarily, I think what a lot of people in the recruitment side of the business lose track of is you're not necessarily trying to reach the exact person you're going to hire. You're trying to reach someone in their orbit. So like a parent, a relative, a significant other, a best friend, you know, someone's going to see something out there being like, yo, this kind of sounds like you, you might be interested in this. Have you ever thought about this air conditioning job I saw or this air conditioning career that I saw? That's who you're trying to reach, which if you think about it in that context, it really broadens the scope of where and who you're going to reach. And then the style of messaging you're going to use to get to them. But yeah, we do a lot of marketing and our website certainly has a page dedicated to it. And we're building out a new website right now. And it's going to have a lot of career features built into it because I really do want to capture somebody that's just looking around, they're poking around and grab them from the internet side of things. But then at the same time, the old school, just word of mouth, you know, our own kind of personal and social networks. You know, we all know somebody that has a relative, someone just moved to town, a friend, you know, that kind of stuff. And then when you do hire a successful candidate, they know people too that are either already experienced in the industry or are have the same kind of background and aptitudes that they do. And they are your best recruiters, essentially. So we certainly ask and offer referral bonuses to internal, you know, people internally who can bring in candidates. And I think that's been one of our best methods. The last thing I would offer up is to partner with and to collaborate with trade schools. And the instructors that I've worked with over the years, they certainly know the kind of technician that our company likes. And then when they have a guy going through their program that they like, they will call us and they'll say, hey, you should probably come and talk to this person. They seem like your kind of guy and, you know, you can come in there and talk to them. And see what their career goals are and if you align. And then that's sort of the next step. And then we like to offer a lot of those guys ride-alongs. You know, if you're a 18, 19-year-old guy or person in trade school and you've never actually ridden in a truck before and done this job, it's like, hey, meet us on a Saturday and let's go ride around and do some calls and you can see what it's really like before you waste any more of your time in trade school if you decide this is 100% not for you. But if you have that young person who is willing to do that, give up their Saturday to come in and spend a day riding around, you know, that shows you they have a lot of initiative and that they really are genuinely interested in the career. So
yeah,
really good sorting hat.
Yeah, absolutely. And so do you find a lot of success with attracting the younger talent, or do you think that you have to market to them a different way than you would somebody who's been in the industry for a long time, or how do you handle that with the younger generation?
Yeah, it's two different messages for sure. It's easier to talk about the experienced person because I like to talk to their kind of pain points where it's, mm-hmm. you know, we can offer limited to zero on call time, you know, new Mercedes trucks, tool accounts, like, you know, these things that guys who have worked in the business know what that's like. Limited weekends, you know, all that stuff, like, and holidays off. There's a lot of perks with working for a company of our size and scale, full benefits and all that stuff. With it, when it regards to the person who has no experience or is new to the industry, for me, the message is this isn't a dirty job that you might think it is. Yes, we get dirty every day, but it's also an adventure. It's just a very interesting job. You're making a difference in real people's lives. When you go into an old lady's home that has no heat and you're able to, you know, lay hands on a machine and make it work, and that lady is unbelievably grateful, and, you know, you can see the relief coming across their face as they realize they're not going to freeze to death or have to leave their house and go seek shelter somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are your fundamental, hierarchy of needs, right? If you don't have safe shelter, then that kind of really puts people in a very anxious and insecure position. But coming in there and making a difference and providing comfort for people is a real rush. And it's kind of like being a frontline worker, I would imagine, in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. Just with a lot less like risking your life. So,
right. So,
there's that. But like, so to me, it's just one of those things. It's like, let's make a difference. You know, let's provide comfort to people. We're also, we're technically on the front lines of kind of green proofing of America and making the world a more efficient place. You know, if we use half our energy globally on heating and air conditioning of buildings, and we can go into each house and make some improvement, whether it's 20-30% more efficient, you've made a huge difference. And that's part of what I think attracts young people. They want to know that what they're doing is not just being on some hamster wheel, that they're actually doing something to make the world a better place. And whether that's directly helping, the little old lady with no heat, or, making your town just that much more efficient with every home you go to, that makes a difference. That's to me, that's exciting. And that's what makes it interesting. And if you're one of those people that couldn't imagine sitting in an office all day, every day, this is pretty appealing to me. Mm-hmm. It's applied science. It's, you're working with really cool machines and you're playing with fire and electricity and all these, refrigerants, and you're doing really cool stuff from just like, if you have that kind of a brain that likes physics and, engineering and all that kind of stuff, it's just very interesting.
Right. Absolutely. And like you said before, it's an industry that is always going to be needed. So there is safety within this field. And so do you think that the different experiences and the different avenues that you've taken within this industry has sort of put you in a good or unique position to allow you to easily communicate this to people? Like, do you find that you are naturally good at sort of attracting that young talent, or you have sort of a zeal for it?
I certainly like to, I've seen a lot of recruiting approaches. I've seen a lot of people come into trade schools and do their talks, and I prefer the keep it real method. I'm certainly going to tell a guy like, this is a hard job. The hours can be grueling. You're in very hot or cold or uncomfortable environments, and you have a lot of pressure from, customers and your management and dispatchers. But you never have the same day twice. That's kind of the flip side of it. Cause I've personally done all of those roles, and I know exactly what it feels like. And it can feel pretty isolating and pretty intense to be out there, with one more call and you just already thought you were on your last call and that kind of thing. Like, I know exactly how that feels like. But I think, a lot of people need to have perspective that just about every career, every industry has their busy season. It has their, crunch time. It has their deadlines. That comes with just about every job. And you just have to know in this business, it just happens. And certainly in this location, it happens to be the summertime. You know, that's when we're going to be busiest. That's when you have the least time to go play and do cool things and travel and all that stuff. We make all of our money during the summer is just the reality. But then guess what? You've got all spring, you know, fall and winter, and, you know, those are pretty cush times, and you're getting home at reasonable hours, and it's very predictable. So I like to just make it realistic for people. I don't want to sit here and say like, oh, this is some kind of dream profession. It's just like every job, every profession has its pros and cons. And I think if you're the right person, this is a really good career, and it certainly can be very rewarding. And like you said earlier, there's tons of job security. Mm-hmm. And obviously I grew up in a family business, but what I told myself all the time is it doesn't matter what happens to this business. I can go get a job tomorrow anywhere on this planet, really, but certainly anywhere in the country, I can go get a job and I can fix things. Like, and there's, I probably wouldn't make the same money I make now and et cetera, all that random stuff, but like, I can get a job. I'll never be unemployed. And I know that. Mm-hmm. Like, that gives me a lot of security. Like, when I'm trying to sleep at night, it's like, I don't have to worry about, you know, when I'm 50 and I'm laid off because I'm overpaid and there's a younger person that can do the exact same thing right out of college. Like,
right.
That doesn't happen in this industry. You know, I can always just jump in a truck and start running service calls, worst case scenario. And right. I would actually have a lot more fun doing that, because like, that is where I'm in my happy place. You know, the management side of things is brings in a whole different level of intensity and complications and all that stuff. And it's like, sometimes, you know, I long for the days of just having service calls, and just that one customer in front of me is all I have to deal with at that moment. And then I can fix that thing and I move to the next one.
Right.
So it's just important to kind of paint an honest, realistic picture with somebody. And then, you know, having that street cred of being a service technician opens all the doors for people. Mm-hmm. You know, whether or not you're destined to be a service technician or an installation technician your entire career, which is great if you are. I think that's equally celebrated in my company, but you can certainly springboard into anything. This is a mega $1 billion global industry. You can mm-hmm. work for a manufacturer, you can work for a distributor, you can work for other larger companies, you can go start your own company. I mean, I don't believe in holding people back. If I've got a technician here that's itching to go start their own company, I'm going to work with them to make that happen. I'm going to say, okay, cool. Like, let's do that. You're going to need to save this kind of money. You're going to need to get this kind of licensure. You're going to need this kind of expertise. You're going to need to know how to design systems. You're going to need to know business account. Like, let's get you set up for on this path, and let's put you on a plan where you can eventually go do that. And we wish you well. And if it doesn't work, come on back. We'll happy to have you back. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and having somebody work for you that only wants to leave you is not obviously a good person to have around. But if you're a partner of theirs in their success, whether it includes you or not, you know, I think that just speaks to what that you really are have their best interests in heart, and you really do want them to grow and succeed. And that might be your best employee. It might be your next best competitor. You don't know that.
Right.
But holding them back certainly isn't going to help.
No, not at all. And also communicating that and keeping it real is going to allow the younger generation to trust you, which I feel like is sort of a big thing with them, is that they want to feel like they're a person, not just an employee to you. And also, like you said, you don't have to worry about the younger generation coming in and taking a job from an industry veteran, because the younger generation needs the industry veteran. And our industry is sort of in a unique spot where we need the younger generation and we need the industry veterans, and we need them to partner. You know, it isn't a competitive thing in that nature. It's just partnering with each other and figuring out how to do things different, and what are the things that we've always done that we need to keep doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so what do you think the holdup is then? What do you think is what's happening? Why there is, I know obviously answering the question, why is there a labor shortage, is there's a million answers to that. But what do you think, I guess, how do you think the industry is failing, if at all, when it comes to attracting the younger workforce? Because looking ahead, you know, in 20, 30 years, a lot of these industry veterans aren't going to be in a position to work anymore.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it seems like it's kind of like an industry branding issue, right? Like this is a dirty job, and it's like, you know, I forget if it was like The Simpsons or South Park or whatever that had some like really like unflattering, you know, depiction of an HVAC technician. And, you know, that, like, a lot of that stuff's in the culture. It's like, you know, I remember going to people's homes, you know, I'd go to, you know, someone I went to high school with, parents' house or whatever, and they'd be like really shocked to see me there as the repairman. And then they would say things to me like, oh, well, you know, college isn't for everybody, or I guess, you know, it's good to see you're doing something. And I'm like, and I would just like laugh at them. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I was like, I own my own home at like the age of like 23 or 24 or whatever. Like, I am succeeding and doing well and happy. And your kid is still living in the basement, you know, bouncing around between dead end jobs to dead end job. I was like, what are you even talking about? I was like, I am doing just fine. And I did graduate college, by the way. I was like, I actively chose to do this because, like, I know this is a better way for me. Like, I don't want to sit in some cubicle somewhere. Like, I just don't want to do that. Like, but, you know, that mentality of like, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, ooh, you shouldn't have to be doing this. I'm like, why? Like, this is super fun. And like, you know, like, and I don't mind being dirty and whatever, like, it's fine. Like, so yeah. So I think like there is a branding issue with that. And I don't think people necessarily realize this has become a rather high-tech job. I mean, this is an IT job anymore. I mean, these systems now are computers with motors and compressors attached to them. Like, the motors and the compressors are like the easiest part about it right now. Like, they either work or they don't. You can take some simple measurements and figure that out. But like, the programming, the software, you know, which software release are you on? And does it have this bug in it that you have to know what that looks like? That's what's kind of interesting about it. These things are all internet connected now. We have all these like predictive portals that alert you when problems are on, you know, approaching and stuff like that. Like, this is an IT job essentially. And I think a lot of people think like, oh, I want to, IT is this new sector that I want to be a part of. It's lucrative and all that stuff. It's like, well, this is an IT job technically, is the way I look at it. And as we've seen with all this new stuff that's coming out, you know, we have yet another younger generation that's coming in, and they are much more receptive to working from a tablet, you know, logging into a portal or connecting their tablet to a system and, you know, downloading the faults and the last, you know, events and all that stuff. Like, so I don't think people quite realize that. I think that takes people by surprise when you explain like, no, this is a tech job and this stuff is becoming really high tech. The next generations of things coming down the pike with the latest efficiency standards is going to be really interesting. It's going to be pretty radically different, I think. I mean, we have this next refrigerant pivot, but I think that's just a stopgap measure until we get to this new kind of design paradigm that reaches. And then they're talking about, you know, systems with no refrigerant eventually and all these other methods. Like, there's some cool stuff out there. When you start having people like Elon Musk talking about they're going to reinvent the air conditioner,
right?
You know, that's kind of interesting, and you can scoff and laugh it off, but like, it is a thing that touches every building, every car, you know, every space we enter as people has some kind of air conditioning happening. So it makes sense that very smart people that want to make a lot of money are looking at that going, how can we take this to another level? How can we disrupt this? How can we reinvent it? But at the end of the day, there's always going to need to be people like us who go and service and install and maintain these things. I mean, there's no getting away from that. There's no outsourcing that can take that away from us. I mean, that's just the reality of it. So I kind of welcome all these changes because I just think it's just more work and more job security ultimately.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's about just painting a new picture of what the HVAC industry looks like. Cause I even remember my dad's a carpenter, and I remember growing up, and just for whatever reason, I just had this vision of plumbers in my head that, oh, if you're a plumber, like you don't make that any money, you know, cause your pants are always hanging low and, you know, things of that nature, because I would see things on TV that depicted plumbers, and obviously, you know, they do correlate, but it's just so funny how over the years that these pictures of these technicians and these contractors get painted in our heads and they're arguably some of the most important people within our labor force.
Yeah. And I think that was like early on, that was one of my, you know, as a kid growing up, and certainly as a teenager, you know, when I would work summers here, you know, I would work with an old technician that we just called Bubba. And he was exactly what you would imagine a Bubba looked and sounded like. He was an old country blue collar guy. And he was literally the smartest person I've ever met in my life. Like, right. He was mind-blowingly good at what he did. he just had that innate talent. And I was like, and you know, that's just one of those things you learn. You're like, there are super smart people everywhere you look. It's just, we tend to judge people based on what they do or look or sound like. And that's wrong. Obviously we learn, you know, hopefully everyone learns that at some point, that you can't judge people by their cover.
Right. But
we do it all the time anyway. I mean, no one's really immune to that. I'm certainly not still, but you know, I realized to be good at this, you have to be smart ultimately. Like that's just the reality of it. And that's with probably any job ultimately, but it certainly is a job that you never have the same day twice, and you're always going to be learning something. Like you will never max out your HVAC Jedi skills. Like there's always the next thing coming out. There's always a machine or a situation that you just haven't seen before, an application that is, you know, a little bit out there, different. So yeah, I mean, that stuff is constantly evolving. And I think that's what makes it interesting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So Phil, how can people get in touch with you or find out more about Moncrief or Unique Indoor Comfort?
Well, Moncrief is in Atlanta, Georgia, and we can be found at moncriefair.com. We have some Facebook pages. You can just search for Moncrief on Facebook. And we also, you can find more about the Unique Indoor Comfort platform at uniqueindoorcomfort.com. And that's a very exciting program that if anyone's interested in taking their business to the next level, we'd be happy to talk to them. Knowing that we just want to have active and engaged owners that are taking their company to the next level, not retiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Phil. And for all you listeners looking for more Newsmakers podcasts, you can visit our website at www.achrnews.com. Thanks for tuning in.